We're here, praise God, in spirit with Moses as he stands with Israel between Pharaoh's army and that sea. And in the 12th verse, the people are telling Moses what they think of this situation. And what they tell him in that 12th verse of the 14th chapter, "Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians?" Isn't that something? You talk about an ornery bunch. Ornery bunch sometimes, huh? Right there. Let's get in there. Amen. But for the grace of God. Listen to this, what unbelief can do to us. "For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." But here we go. "And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Now what a moment we have. And this is, praise the Lord. I pray it's a moment that we live moment by moment in that regard, where we would stand still and see the mighty hand of God moment by moment in our lives. And he teaches this along, doesn't he? Amen. You think about our faith and how it grows, and you know how we do as young Christians. We go to God and we ask him for things, and we're believing in Jesus' name as we come forth and all, and the fellowship continues to grow and increase. And then here you are, you know the ways of God, and he brings you to these places where there's no way out. But yet, you don't worry about the no way out. You're right in here and say, "Lord, you're fighting for me. You know what, Lord? I'm going to hold my peace and just believe you, God." And that's exactly what Moses was telling them. Sincerely, be quiet. And a little bit more strong than that. Quit your fussing. The Lord will fight for you. And many things have been coming forth that the Lord has been pouring to us about his heart and about the heart of God in us. And I think we all can testify, we all could be better listeners. Amen? Amen? I thank God. And first, to the Lord, but as we've had some sermons on compassion and encouragement to love one another, we need to have compassion to hear a heart. I appreciate sweet Brother Dwayne. I know the Lord's given him ministry in many things, but he's able to visit with so many people that come down, and he listens to them. And I thank God. And I'll tell you what, one that I've learned the most from about listening, I want you to take this the right way, but is my wife. Not that she holds me down and says, "You must listen to me." But I'm talking about with people that I know. And I think I mentioned it before, and it always just struck me as they, you know, this was more than once where our neighbors would take me aside and they would say, "You know, the thing I just appreciate about your wife, she's the best listener I've ever met." It really struck me. And it's taught me how when we listen, it shows we care. When we listen, how it can touch someone else's life. But I want us to make sure that there is a listening, and matter of fact, the only listening that will ever have power, and that's listening and hearing the Word of God. And I mean that. And I pray when we're listening to one another or hearing things, that we're hearing them in the heart of God to be able to respond. Because someone's come to us, in those regards many times, they're inquiring of a hope that lies within you. They may not be thinking that they're inquiring of that hope, but they are. There's an appointment, there's a set time that has just happened and transpired at that moment, that by the grace of God, to truly call out to God and, "Spirit, give me utterance. Give me the words to speak." And I'm telling you, again, going on right now in my life, to praise God, his flock. Hallelujah. I'm believing him for all of the utterance that he gives me moment by moment. But there is a listening, and that is listening and hearing the word of God. And we need to be impressed by this because we don't have much time. We don't have time to waste. We don't have time to waste when we're even testifying the word of God. We need to get to that precious moment to tell someone about Jesus, to tell someone about the word of God and how the word of God is that hope. And we best be listening to the word of God. We need to be still and to know that he is God. We need to trust that he knows our heart. We need to trust God that he knows our pain, your need, and that there is only one cure and one salve. And by the grace of God, that is the balm in Gilead. People could tell you millions of words, but if it's not truth in love, it'll never profit you a thing. And you know that. We can try to be as religious as we can, but religion doesn't get it. It will never cut it. We need to hear the sincere truth and love of our Lord. All of us have, I was thinking of this, we have loved ones, we have family that we've taken time, I pray, to listen, that have great circumstances, things that just truly, but for God we would think them strange, that just come upon them. There's needs, there's hurts, there's addictions, there's so many things. And we listen to one another, I pray. We listen about pain. We listen about misery. We listen about frustration, that things aren't seeming to change. And we perceive that there is a great desire in somebody's heart. I wish these things were different. But what I seldom see is the one who wants to be listened to, the one that wants to be heard, that they're ever still enough and want to hear the word of God for the cure. Going on again with someone that we care so greatly for. And it seems like almost a merry-go-round with that same individual. You hear the same thing. And the healing is there. It's the word of God. And we're always trying to point them to the word of God. But it always is the same thing. And yet there's no wanting to listen to the word of God for the healing. And I can testify, and I believe I'm with people tonight, thank you, Lord, that we're thankful that our life is a continuing call out to Jesus, isn't it? Amen, isn't it? More and more all the time. And I thank the Lord. I think that our cry in unison to him is even so, Lord, come quickly. Praise God, you know. From time to time, it's, Lord, I just want to get out of here. But most of the time, it's, Lord, I just want to see you. And I thank the Lord for, as we talk about the Lord and I, Lord, I want to see you, but there are many fringe benefits to you getting me out of here, you know. But we call out to him from the ends of the earth, don't we? And aren't we thankful to God that we know that there is one, that always hears my hurt. He knows my wounds before I ever spoke them to him. He knows the wounds that sometimes I feel like they never go away. But one of the greatest things the Lord has encouraged my heart is as I call out to him, the need to be still and to receive the healing from him of faith. Amen? And I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord that there's times, I will tell you, I have cried out to God for hours. But I'm thankful that the multiplied hours where he's had me and calmed me and said, now, son, be still. Let me pour forth this anointing oil on you that there will be a peace and you will be still before me. Praise God. See, Israel here, as we see, and it continued on, didn't it? They never learned to be still. They were very good at letting know to God about their gripes, about their pain and about their sorrow. But they never held their peace to hear the word of God. They didn't. Because there's a difference. They may have heard something, but they really didn't listen. Listening will change your life. Hearing is you can hear sounds. But when you listen to words. There's a depth in that. And that's why the hearing that it speaks of in the word of God is listening to the heart of God. Listening to the Spirit minister to us as we come boldly to that throne of grace. See, Israel, they continued to call out, but that calling, and I would have to say even at the beginning, because it wasn't calling out in faith, it was calling out to complain. You've heard the expression, and I know we've all probably been there at one time or another, well, I'm angry with God. It's not a good place to be. Now, he will never leave you nor forsake you. His love is always there. But when we're angry, we're hard. When we're angry, there's a madness at us in us that we're not listening to him. I think about when Israel would call out to him. It wasn't in faith. It was a murmur, as the Lord said. They were murmuring. They were complaining. And there was great contention. And whenever we're there in our lives, know this. There's not a healing that happens. There's a bitterness that grows. When you continue to murmur about the same thing and complain, frustration will multiply. It will be a wound that you pick at because you're not choosing faith to have it healed. And it will be a pain that truly will never go away. The Lord gave himself for us upon that cross. He took our pain. He bore our sorrow. And there may be an ache. There may be that precious wounded side, but it's his wounded side. I'm wounded with him. I understand that. But he was the one that was wounded for me. And he was. And I'm so thankful that I know that. See, the only healing there is that stripe that he took for us. Those stripes of death. You must see the Lamb who bore it all if you really want to be healed. And specifically to see the very pain, the specific pain that you have right now, to see him on the cross, that he bore that for you. It said he was tested and he was tried in everything. Everything that you've ever faced. He took that. Do you believe that? I believe that. Somebody would say, well, how could he know him? Because he's very God of very God. Because he took it all. Not only did he take all of our sins, somehow we think, well, he took all my sin, but he didn't really take everything. Yes, he did take everything. He took every pain. He took your guilt. He took your shame. Every infirmity, every temptation, every test was laid upon him. He knows you. He knows that specific issue. Look to him on that cross. Know that he has borne that for you. And all the victories that come. All the rejoicing that assures our life, brothers and sisters, that he was tested and tempted for my pain. The word assures me that in that my life is being perfected and that he will perform the good work which he has begun. And it's going to be through the joint sufferings together with Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Notice, it's the joint sufferings together with Christ. He doesn't isolate us out there. Let me tell you something. He was isolated on that cross. When he went to the cross, he went alone. His Father turned from him. There is an alone that he knows that no one else will ever know. And it sends a shock and chill all the way through my body to think he loved me like that. That's the pain I'm talking about. That's the sorrow, praise God. Isn't it wonderful? You are so, we read that today, we rejoiced in. We're complete in him, aren't we? Complete. Everything's complete in Jesus. There isn't anything lacking in my life that isn't met at the cross. There isn't anything lacking in my life that he didn't finish in full victory at the cross. The perfection that he has for your life. And I thank God because you know this. I see those heads shaking and saying, Lord, I know that perfection because it's his perfect love. I know that every one of my down settings and uprising, my thought afar off, all these things that hurt me so and that continue to be tender to my life. And then the Lord in his faithfulness, he'll bring even more things that are tender to your life. Because that testing is going to go on and on. And it's going to become even more pressing. It's just like when that child is going to be birthed. It's on, isn't it, sisters? You know that. I mean, when it comes quickly. But it's on. And it's coming forth, praise God. And the beauty and the fruit that comes forth. Amen. Praise God. We know this because that's our Jesus. Turn over to Psalm 43. This is so beautiful. And I think how the Lord, again, just layers it on for us. But in Psalm 43, this is our sweet brother calling out to God. And I want you to think about the transformation that happens in the first two verses to verses 3 through 5. And let's notice together the transformation that happened in the renewing of our brother's mind as he was going through this trial. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? That's some heavy stuff, isn't it? I mean, there's a battle. And I'll tell you what, each and every one of us know this type of a battle. And some have great battle with this. But the oppression, the enemy, the mourning from all of this oppression. So he's caught up in this. There's something heavy on this precious man. Here's the cure. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into the holy hill and to the tabernacles. Then will I go down unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, unto the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Notice it was God, it was his word, it was the truth that was the health of his countenance. Everything about him, that's talking about even your feeling, how joyful I am, is not going to be predicated upon the oppressor and how they're going to treat me. It's on the word of the Lord, which is the joy of my strength. Hallelujah. It's that joy, it's that confidence. And notice how quickly this happened. I love this little verse because this is every trial we ever face. This is everything we are ever in. And what does David call out to in verse 3? Send out thy light and thy truth. Lord, I just need this to shine upon me. He didn't talk about the oppressor. He didn't talk about the enemy, the problem anymore. It was all the solution. It was all Jesus. It was all the joy. And then he's even kind of getting on himself in verse 5. Why am I cast down, my soul? Why am I disquieted? Why am I fussing? Hope in God. You talk about encouraging yourself in the Lord. Here it is. Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. You talk about a healing, amen? You talk about truly the gospel, the balm of Gilead. He called out on it. And he took it and he embraced it, which was always embracing him, because it never changed. It just, again, what was he looking at? Was he looking, you've heard all of these different sayings. This is where they all come from. But if you look at it in the word of God, are you looking at the lemons or are you looking at the lemonade he's making? Is it half, they always say, is it half empty or half full? No, it's full and running over. That's your cup. And know this, praise be to God. You're digging ditches. See, this is the miracle of your life. Go dig ditches in a desert. There's nothing like that. See, you can dig ditches when it's raining and that's great and you can be all happy that God's filling it up. But when there hasn't been clouds for years and it hasn't rained for a real long time and yet God's given you the faith to go out and dig them ditches and you're not hoping in a wonder if it's going to rain, you're believing God, it's going to rain and you're going to fill this up for me, praise the Lord. That is set apart faith. See, that most holy faith I'm finding is when you go out in the boldness of the Lord and you suffer together with him. You get so far out there in a joy of your life and a peace that passes all understanding that you become as Brother Paul. I glory in my infirmities. praise God. And he's faithful to do it anyways. But when we can have that joy of anticipation that, you know, Lord, you're going to bring these trials. I just want to begin to sing the songs in the night before I even get there. Praise God. So we thank the Lord for these things. But see, this is it. This is it. The answer is the Word of God. And the heart is only calmed by the Word of God. Man's words will never calm you. No, they won't. Matter of fact, man's words will deceive you. That's the philosophy, again, we read about today that will rob you, that will lead you down a path that will steal, kill, and destroy your life. Lots of times we stand, and we're standing in a day and an age that is changing so fast. But the Word of God never changes. I talk to parents that are dealing with kids and different issues and all of these things. And parents have become afraid of their children. Parents have become afraid of the system of this world. Perfect love casts out all fear. Now, we need to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves as we go through this. But stand on the promises of God. Do not make deals with the enemy. There is no such thing as responsible sinning. And I thank God that we can stand in that and we can believe God for these things. And see, may we be reminded as we close this up tonight, think of these questions. Is it man that directs our steps or is it God? See, we get so bent out of shape with our society right now. Oh, the government's just getting... And sometimes I get a little bit like that, you know. Seem to be encroaching a little bit here and there, a little more all the time. But is the government directing my steps or is it my God? Amen. Did he not have me here? I'm sure there was a little bit of fussing about Nero too. Those Caesars weren't good dudes. But I'm going to tell you something. God's got perfect timing for Jesse, just like he's got perfect timing for you. And so, once again, is it man or is it God who directs your steps? Is it God who puts up and down whom he will? Or is it man who puts up and down whom he will? Did he not make the oppressed Joseph the second in command of all of Egypt? Think about these things. Was it not the cast out Israelite, Moses, who led Israel out of bondage from Egypt? This is just too much. Was it not the less of the least Gideon, God's chosen to lead Israel? Was it not the chief of sinner Paul that God revealed the bridal message? Was not the man after God's own heart still the same treasured vessel, man after God's own heart, even after he committed adultery and murder? God's got you. He really does. And he says, this is his truth, this is his word. These are the epistles read of men, which is the word of God in the lives of our brethren. And he's telling us that we need to believe that God will have his way with me. God's going to have his way with me. And I'm going to believe that God's going to have his way with me. Because as I was mentioning earlier today, I got overwhelmed on Friday. And he told me again, honey, you're God's man. Not because I'm a pastor, but I'm God's man. And I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord that I'm his son. And I'm growing up. I'm trusting in his grace. And that's how you grow up. I might still be young and some people perceiving me or whatever it is. But I know by the grace of God, because of the word of his truth and the word of his grace, I'm growing up. And I thank God for that. And I just trust upon his word, not in what man thinks. But see, I need to believe that God's going to have his way with me. I need to praise God for my cross. Amen? Amen. You praise him for your cross. Rejoice, as Paul said in the infirmity. We mentioned today the champions cherish the battle. Rejoice in the wounds that are shared together with Christ. He reminded us, be happy when we suffer for his sake. Praise God. Praise God. Every bit of your sufferings are such monumental purpose for your life. If you did not have these, you would not win him. Amen. And isn't it something how we all come from all different walks of life because God is no respecter of person. He's going to show us that, that it's Him that works that in the vessels that will. As He said, I would that all men be saved. I would that all men come to the full knowledge of this truth of jointly suffering together with Jesus Christ. This truth that He's the God that perfects us. The truth that if I before you, who could be against you? This is what we're talking about. That as the Lord encourages us to forget those things which are behind, to lay aside every weight and run for that mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Believe the word of God that you lack nothing in Him. Isn't that wonderful? And I thank God, I do, I praise Him that I can look upon His vessels. And I know many of the different circumstances that each one of us have come out of and are going through in different ways. But thank God for that same testimony. I've got you. Before I ever set a star in heaven, that perfect, before ordained good works life that you should walk therein. But by the grace of God, we're going to walk therein. Yeah, I'm confident in the grace of God, aren't you? I'm confident in the grace of God. And confidence in the grace of God, you know what? He'll perform that work. He will perform that work. Grace will perform that work. All right? So I can be confident in that. So all of those before ordained good works that ye should walk therein, they're done. They're done, finished, and right there. And praise God, you're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loved you. So every one of those, every one, until you see Jesus, He's given you that faith to walk that. Faith in His grace, praise God, that grace is all grace. And it's my all sufficiency, always in all things, to superabound unto every good work. Every before ordained good work. Know that. Don't doubt that. That's what the enemy wants you to doubt. That somehow your life is different than your life, or your life's different than your life. In a sense of that, oh, it's too hard for her, or too easy for him. Let me tell you something. Not a one of us could ever walk except for the word of God that is for us. Not a one of us could finish, praise God, but for the grace of God. But it has to be the whole counsel that's going to be worked in our lives. Amen? And it's going to be worked in different trials specific to our lives. Everything about us, everything that comes into our life, it means everything to God. Because that's how perfect you are. You got to bake in that oven exactly the amount of time. You got to have the ingredients, that stirring, beating, whatever you want to call it. It's got to be exact, and it will be exact. But to have faith and confidence in it that, you know, Lord, it ain't joyous for the moment. But at the same time, I know it ain't worthy to be compared with the joy and that glory that I know that will be revealed. But I've got to see it now. Amen. To be joyful in that. People have asked me many times when I see them, they say, oh, well, you always talking about the coming of the Lord. What else is there to talk about? I read in the Word of God that, you know, the ones that abound in hope, you know what they're abounding in hope in? The coming of the Lord. The knowing that He's coming. That's that joy of the Holy Ghost. That's that love shed abroad. This love story that the Lord, by His grace and His Spirit, has caught us together with Him in. We're in that love story. We're living that. Praise God, it's alive in us. So as we go tonight, let's know this. It's His voice that we need to hear, because it's His voice that calms the sea. It's His voice that heals the lame. It's His voice that turns the enemy away. And I'll tell you one thing, as our sweet Father told us, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. Hear Him. Even his Father loves to hear him. Hallelujah. So I'm thanking him tonight that let's be listeners of truth. And God give us that stillness. He knows. Jesus does know. We call out to him believing. We call out to him in faith. But Lord, let my soul be still. Let me rest. Amen. Yeah, it is well with my soul. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.